The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Generation in prophecy. Glory to God. So good to have us. Amen. I think it's a good thing that you are seated on the first day of the meeting. Yes, subsequently, other people are going to come. But it's a good thing you are here on the first day. Always learn to be around on the first day. Now, while we're growing up, there was this regular thing that people did, you know. They only come for meetings maybe on the last day, when they think the power of God will be moving very, very well. So they miss the first day, second day, and then on the last of the program, they just show up. And that's not proper. Because how meetings run, especially for me, these things are a build-up. You understand? We start building from the first day. So by the last day, when we're rejoicing and celebrating, we're not just making empty noise. It's because something has started working in us at that time. Amen. So I'll just start sharing with us today on a generation in prophecy. A generation in prophecy. We are about to have the best time of our life so far. So just be expectant. Amen. Glory to God. Everyone on earth there are words that have been spoken concerning you long before you were born. Long before you were conceived. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 4, the Lord speaking to Jeremiah told him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you," that's Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. "Before I formed you," the word of God came unto me saying, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." So long before Jeremiah was born, God already had his plans for what Jeremiah would do on earth. And maybe you would say, well, that's just Jeremiah. But it's not just Jeremiah. It's actually how God works. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 6, the psalmist was speaking prophetically, and by the time he gets to the New Testament, his father was talking about Jesus. But in Psalm 40, verse 6, he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, my ears has thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering has thou not required." In verse 7, he says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." In verse 8, he said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God," and all of that. By the time you get to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 5 to 7, quoted these same verses and signified that it was talking about Jesus. So we've seen that Jeremiah, before he was formed, God had his plans. Now, this is way before Jesus was born. God already spoke that there is a volume, there is a book. There are books that have been written about Jesus before he was born. So it wasn't just about Jeremiah. Here we are seeing it's also about Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, Isaiah says the same thing about himself. So Jeremiah says, before he was formed, God ordained him. The book of Psalm tells us the truth about Jesus, the same thing. Now look at Isaiah 49 and verse 1. Glory to God. Do you have your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 49 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, "Listen, O eyes, unto me, and hearken, you people from afar. The Lord had called me from the womb. The Lord had called me from the womb." So the same thing said about Jeremiah, the same thing said about Jesus, and the same thing is being said about Isaiah. And that goes to tell you that this is not particular to any human being. Once you are a human being born into this earth, long before you were born, God had his plans for you. It's something we say casually, but I hope we can really understand the weight of that statement. That means that if you had gone to God when you were 6 months old, and he would have told you his plans for you. If you had met God when you were 3,
So I told these plans for you. These plans precede you. And that's what I want to discuss this weekend. I want to guide you into how you can find out what God has said about you before you came. How you can find it, how you can work in it, how you can succeed in it. Because you are not an accident of sexual intercourse. You didn't just come. I don't care how you are born. Maybe your parents didn't plan to conceive you. Maybe they were done giving birth. You know, there are children like that. Wanted to give birth to 4 children. Then after like 18 years, and all that, I just showed up. And so you grow up believing that you were a mistake. Now, even if that's their own story, that is not God's story about you. That was an accident. There are people like that you look at, you know, some of them, even their parents try to abort them. Their parents try to remove the baby. And but you stubbornly came out. Glory to God. And that alone goes to show that God, you are not actually an accident. God has his plan. You know, biology has the way that it has its way of explaining childbirth and all of that. How that when the semen or the sperm goes, they begin to race towards the egg. And then over a million sperm cells are released and all of that. And then somehow, one lucky one will get to the egg. I can't do that kind of thing. It's not about luck. God has his plans. So, there are chances, for instance, it would have been you that got to the egg. Maybe if it's not you, maybe, who knows? But I don't think so. I know that's how it works, but I think God has his plans. He said, now look at that. Before I formed you. Now, before I formed you means before your father and mother ever thought of meeting each other. Before they ever thought of getting married. And this will sink into your head. That I didn't just appear. And if you can understand what I'm sharing with you, you will now have to calm down and watch how you live your life. And ask questions. You know, I always tell this to remember I teach on things like this. Many years ago, I was in a vision. I can't forget it. And in that vision, I was standing at a spot, and they were reading a book, a big book. And that book, the name of behind that book was The Biography of Henry Gedekashi. I kid you not. And they were reading. They even read to the point they mentioned when I died. I feel what I'm saying. Now, I've never seen it in God's word. Many years ago, I'm talking about before I even started started ministry, just less than 1 year. After the ministry. And that brought a consciousness to me that I laid down things God already planned that I was going to fulfill. And that's why you cannot live life carelessly. So Jeremiah said, before I formed thee, God was telling him, I knew you and I ordained you. About Jesus, the same thing. About Isaiah, now we are seeing the same thing. Are you see here? That's why in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. He said, we are created in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Give me Amplified Classic if you have. Amplified Classic of this verse. Let's read together, everybody. Okay. Watch this. That we might do what? Those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So before you were born, there is a path God already pre-planned that you should walk in. You see what I'm talking about? And that's why if you don't find it, it's your problem. So God never planned that you live a confused life. Ever. You know, I love the passion of that verse. He said, we have become his poetry. So, people should not actually try to create their destiny. They should actually discover what it is. That's what I'm talking about, the generation in prophecy. You are actually someone in prophecy. What that means is that there are words that have gone ahead of you before you came. Painful thing is, many don't ever find it. Many don't even start. Many find it, but they don't finish it. Many don't start. I can almost tell you, 70 or 80% of people on earth do not even scratch 30%, if not 20% of God's plan for their life. And I'm not just giving you wild statistics. I'm going to prove it to you. Many don't even know. And to start with, because many things you are calling purpose discovery in many places is crazy.
I guess what I'm saying.
Not as a book actually wrote
that I would have released this way. Like it's written on my system. It's about this matter. But the Lord said no. Not yet. So maybe next year. Amen. Maybe next year. But you know, in that book I was saying, people got up and I said, okay, purpose. So what is purpose? Say, purpose is anything you like doing. Really? What if I really like stealing? Like, sincerely, there's this joy that comes upon me when I take your money. I feel so fulfilled. You can't make that your purpose. Say, I like cooking. So because I love cooking, somehow I'm called to cook. That's not purpose. You are not an accident, sir. You must find what God pre-planned and work in it. Let me show you one more verse, one more scripture. Psalm 139 and verse 15. I want to enjoy that verse 15 and 16 with different translations. Psalm 139 and verse 15. Are we there now?
Yes,
have you found this in your Bible? Well, I count it on the screen. Amen. He said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy books, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Give me that verse with NLT 15 and 16. Look what NLT says. NLT says, you watched me. Watch this. This is about you. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of in the dark of the womb. So when you were first competing, sperm, egg competing, God watched you. So it wasn't a coincidence that it was you. You see what I'm talking about here? Now watch. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So before you ever began to exist, your life has been pre-planned. It's all that I'm talking about. Now, you're going to understand what I'm saying as we progress, because I'm not saying that, you know, everybody, we are all programmed robots and God is controlling us from heaven. No. Pre-planned will mean is there is a life God has ordained that you will live. Now, whether you eventually live it or not is another different matter. So you find that there are people that from the first day they were born, they began to miss God's plan. From the day they were born. So, you know, there is someone here possibly in God's plan, he should be in Europe. It's possible. But in his own plan, he's with me and he'll be here now. Amen. Now, look at this Amplified Classic. Glory to God. Amplified Classic. Oh, hallelujah. Now, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and cuddously wrought as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Let me read the Message Bible of verse 15 and 16 to you. Are you there? Message Bible. Amen. I said, amen. I said, you know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing to something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life, we have spread that before you. The days of my life, all prepared before I had even lived a single day. So again, I'm emphasizing, you are not an accident.
If there is one testimony you must return home with from this meeting, it is that somehow you stepped into God's preordained plan for your life. That will be your biggest testimony. Because at the end of the day, that's what counts. Imagine producing a phone. Maybe you bought, what's the latest iPhone? iPhone 15, right? I mean 16. 16. Okay. Some of you have never used 8. So, imagine you bought iPhone 15. And then you send it back. You know how much you bought it. Now, before that iPhone was produced, there is something Apple had in mind. Already in their mind. Now, you send it to the village, to this your grandmother, to use. She can't read. She has a manner, but of course she can't read. And then she looks at that. She doesn't know what it is. And then you return back after 1 year to see your grandmother. And she's supposed to be using it for... to grind pepper. Yeah. Or soap dish. Just gives it the bedroom. And, you know, that would be abuse. That's why I think it was a great man that said, when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Many of us are abusing our lives. Because we've not found out why God made that life. And you might be happy. Take you enjoy your life. Life has not started counting until you live it for the real reason it was created. Life has not started counting. That's why tomorrow and next, I'm going to do some teachings and say a few things around how to actually accurately work in God's plan. Because there are people even doing ministry if you're not in God's plan. Are you following me? So life has not started when you just live it. I said to live for the God's plan or for why it was created. So you must find what God has said about you. You must find that purpose. Purpose is not whatever you love doing. It is beyond that. It's not just about, you know, I love eating or I love dancing or I love talking. I think I'm called to be a pastor because from when I was born, I just love talking. That's not the reason, sir. It's not the proof. I love sewing clothes. It's not what you love doing. It's not also, it's not even the course you studied in school. So what's your purpose? I'm pharmacy. No, sir. It's way beyond that. There is a place where all of this will come in our study, maybe tomorrow or next. Okay? But that is not what your purpose is. I must put that in clarity. So that you don't go deceiving yourself. It is beyond that. I can even add, your purpose is beyond your talent. The fact that you are talented to play football, playing football, or talented in music, does not mean that's your purpose. It's beyond your... Yes, as we progress, we will see that your talent will play a role in your fulfillment of purpose, but your talent is not your purpose. Dancing is not your purpose. Content creation is not your purpose. Are you following what I'm saying now? It's not your purpose. Now, nothing is wrong with that, but that's not your purpose. Baking is not your purpose. Can I even add, singing, music is not anybody's purpose. Are you following me? You can't invent these things. Glory to God. That's not your purpose. The purpose of a product is with the maker of the product. If you want to find out why a product was made, just ask the maker, why did you make it? Instead of just assuming that I think it is, just ask the maker, why did you make this? If you see, if you are doubting, now, that your grandmother is sending that phone to. If she could read, if you just pick up the manual and look at it. By the time I don't read in the manual, Apple would have told you why they made that phone. So it's very easy to find purpose. If you can just ask who made whatever product it is. And so if we look into God's word, we'll find in God's word why he made us. So in my note, I said, the purpose of a product is the purpose, now this is very important, the purpose of a product is first of all found in the purpose of the company that produced it. What I mean is this, Apple is a company, for instance, they have their purpose statement. I'm going to show you that tomorrow. They have their purpose statement. Every product they make is trying to fulfill the purpose statement of Apple as a company. So there is iPhone, there is MacBook, what else? What else? There is, what's this one? What?
There's something they call it. Whatever it is. Is it iWatch? Whatever you call it. All of those things. The purpose of course, by the time we progress, each of them will have different functionalities, but they are trying to fulfill one purpose, the purpose statement of Apple. I agree what I'm talking about. So you want to find out the purpose of a product, just check what is the purpose of that company producing it. For instance, God made us. If you find out, I'm saying something very powerful here. If you find out why God exists or God's purpose statement, you would have actually found out why God made man. Because everything God created, he created because of his own purpose statement. You see what I'm saying? Let me show you a verse. Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. If you can come on the screen, I would really appreciate that. Romans 11 and verse 36. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look at it with King James. Are you there? Now let's read together. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. So everything that was made by him, through him, to him. He is the reason of everything that was created. So, okay, let me show you the Passion translation of that verse. Listen to what Passion said. Passion said, for out of him, the sustainer of everything, came everything. And now everything finds fulfillment in him. So the reason he made everything is for his own purpose. To fulfill an agenda that he has. I'm trying to show you something. If you find out the purpose statement of any company, you cannot begin to see why they make whatever product they make. Are you what I'm saying? Are you following me? Let me give you an example. I've been mentioning Apple. Let me show you Apple purpose statement. Because I checked it. Now, to bring the best user experience to its customer through its innovative hardware, software, and services. The best user experience. A whole lot to say. So, it will be very unlikely for Apple to start making, give me a very weird product. Bones. Right? Because it doesn't communicate their purpose statement. They already told you about hardware and software. So, is Bones hardware? Is it hard or soft? I think it's software. I think there are two types of bones. There is hardware. Which one are you selling? Glory to God. Now, everything I'm going to make has to revolve around that purpose statement in one way or the other. Now, I'm saying a lot of things here, but one thing I would like you to see is that before we begin to find out why God made Pastor Goodwill, or why God made Pastor Amaka, or why God made Pastor this or Sister this, that is why God made everybody first. That is the universal plan of God for everybody. Before we begin to look at functionality of iPhone, MacBook, that is the reason Apple makes their products in the first place. So, you see, you will find out why I say so many things they call purpose conferences, waste of time, most of them. Because there is a general reason for the creation of everybody. Before there are now individual roles, which we are going to look at progressively, everyone here, there is one universal plan of God for everybody. Whether you are from the US or from the UK, you are black, you're white, you're brown, there is a universal plan for everybody. So before God begins to say, well, you, I want it to be this, you, I want it to be that, there is already a plan he has for everybody. And before you begin to find the particular plan of God for particular part you must work in business or in career or this or that, you must first find what God wants everybody to do first. Now, I'm building this up because of a reason. Well, as we progress, we're going to begin to touch a few things, but please wait. Find out there is a universal plan God has for everybody first. So, in the book I was reading, I'll say something about that is one size fits all plan of God for everybody. A plan that he has for people in the UK, people in the US, people in Ghana, people in South Africa. If you've not found that plan, everything you are doing is rubbish. Are you following me, friends? So it starts from there. And so we'll start from there. So 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Give me with New Living Translation on the screen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Everybody please watch this. Are you ready? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tomorrow will be powerful. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. If you know the meaning of these statements I made. Amen. Now, look at what it says. For God saved us. Watch this. And called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. So what is God's plan before the beginning of time? To save us. To cause us to live a holy life. Okay? To bring us into that. Let me finish that. To show us his grace through Christ Jesus. He saved us. He called us to live a holy life. Not because we deserved it, because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. So I'd like to start by showing you that salvation is God's universal plan for every human being on earth. Now, whether you are French or Greek, the first plan that God preordained to everyone is that he will save the person and bring him into a right relationship with himself. Now, somebody may say, well, why is salvation God's plan for everybody? So, what of Adam? What if Adam did not fall? Did God plan that Adam will be saved? Actually, yes. What happens when we get born again, for instance? We become God's children, right? What else? We become part of God's family. We come into his image. Right? What was the first thing that God said concerning man before he made man? Let us make man in our image. What now? He declared that his original intention for the man he created is that that man will be in his image. Are you still here? Let us make him in our image. And some people will say, well, he made everybody in his image. Not exactly. Let us make man in our image is actually what God wants to do. But if you read your Bible very well, you will find out, for instance, that when the Bible talks about the image of God, he's not referring to a phenomenon or something. He's referring to a person. Colossians 1:15 tells us, for instance, that Christ is the image of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us that Christ is the image of God. Scattered all over the New Testament, it shows us that Christ is God's image. So what does that tell you? When the Bible was saying, let us make man in our image in Genesis, what was God trying to do? Let us make man to be like Christ. So the original intention of God for man is that man will be like Christ. Are you following? So how will man be like Christ? The man has to be saved. So the original plan that God has for every human being is that men will be like Christ. Now you cannot actually say, well, if that's the truth, then all of us are in God's plan because we are all like Christ. No, that's not true. We are not all like Christ. Everyone is not in God's image. Are you aware of this? Are you aware? Well, I say some of you to encourage yourself. Whether you are fair or you are dark or you are ugly, you are created in God's image. That's not exactly what God is saying there. Being made in God's image is not a physical thing. It's not about the shape of your face. It's about your spirit man being transformed to look like him. That can only happen at salvation. So if any man is not saved, that man has no right to say he's in God's image. If any man has not received Jesus into his life, he has no right to say he's in God's image. And it's not about being emotional or say you guys are discriminating. So only you people look like God. Actually, yes. Only believers look like God. The Bible talking about believers in 1 John chapter 4 tells us, as he is, so are we in this world. That's what everybody can say. It's only the man in Christ that looks like God.
It's only the man in Christ that is in God's image. It's only the man in Christ that has walked into that original plan that God had. You see why it doesn't make sense to gather people from everywhere and begin to tell them your purpose can be fishing, your purpose can be diving, where they've not even walked into the universal plan of God for everybody on earth. So you see why I say some people live and die and they don't even begin their first steps in God's plan for their life. Because the first step is salvation. So the man who is not saved has not even walked into God's plan for his life at all. Again, you see why I said you cannot say your purpose is football or music. Because there are many people who are doing music and doing well at it who are not born again. I get what I'm saying. So they've not even entered into God's universal plan for everybody. But they're already doing music. No, sir. The first plan God has for every human being, that every human being will be his image. And everyone will be created to be like him. That we will be saved. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 again with NLT. I read it again. He said, for God saved us and he called us to live a holy life. Not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan before the beginning of time. So way before the world began, God already said, I have a plan. My plan is that I will bring this one to be like me. My plan is to save this one. My plan is to make this one my child. So until you come into Christ Jesus and accept the message that he brings and accept the gospel and get transformed, you've not entered into first part of God's plan for your life. You've not started. I get what I'm saying. Let's read together, everybody. Like a mask, right? That was his plan before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. So the plan of God before the world began is to show you his grace. That his grace was shown in salvation. So until you accept that grace that he has shown you, you've not entered into his original plan. And I'm saying this because I don't want to assume that everyone here is born again. Maybe there is someone here who has not accepted Jesus into his life. He's been going to church. He is possibly here because someone dragged him to this place. Maybe there is someone connected to this meeting from somewhere who is here because somebody said he should just join. Or who stumbles on this on Facebook. How you can get into God's original plan for your life is that you must first open your hearts to the gospel. It's not about being a Christian by religion. Or being a Muslim. Because someone is asking me now, so are you trying to say that only Christians will go to heaven? So people that are not Christians don't call. Let me say this to you. If you are born into a Christian home, and the other one was born into a Muslim home, and you never got born again, and this other person did not get born again, both of you are going to the same hellfire. It's not about religion. That tells you something. Whether you are born a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist, God gives everyone equal opportunity. Because the same way you will hear the gospel as a Christian, under the Christian religion in quotes, is the same way the Muslim will hear the gospel under the Islamic religion. So it is equal opportunity to get started in his plan, to come into his image, to come into oneness with him. And that's what the offer God is making you this evening. And how do you get started? It's very simple. Just accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Because what did he do for you on the cross? He paid for your sins. He took your death and gave you his life and said, if you accept, it's okay. It's an exchange. We hear this message every day, or maybe you've not even heard it. But I want to say it, hoping that you've not heard it before. Or hoping that even if you've heard it, you will respond today. That Jesus died to pay for your sins. And until you open your heart to him, you are not yet saved. You may be rich, but you are still going to go to hell. Only salvation in Christ Jesus brings us into the beginning of God's plan for our lives. For God so loved the world, that's the gospel right there, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, whether Christian, Muslim, Buddhist,
believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So until you get to a point in your life where you accept, okay, I know I am a sinner, but I know you've paid for my sins. So Jesus, I accept your righteousness. He takes your sin at that moment. Now, when that happens, he comes into you, transforms you, and you become exactly like he is. That becomes the beginning of your walking into God's plan. So I remember the very first day I walked into the plan of God for my life. It started with salvation. I remember the very first day he came into my heart. A songwriter said he touched me. And I know what joy that filled my soul. When he touches you, you will know. When he comes into your heart, you will know. When you accept him, you will know. It's like your day starts. And it's not like it's like your day actually starts. Oh, scratch that. Your life begins from that day. Your life begins from that day. People think it's just so common. Be born again, don't be born again. I'm born again, I'm not born again. They think it's just very common. No, sir. It's not as common as that. When it happens to you, it might happen in a minute or in a second, but the change stays forever. You used to be an addict. That moment doesn't count because he wipes your he gives you a very clean sheet. Glory to God. The day I met Jesus, the plan of my life started. He planned to save me. He planned, all those his plans started when I met him. I don't know if there is someone here who is not born again. I don't want to assume. I've learned to stop assuming that everyone is born again. Because I found that everybody is not. You know, these days you ask people, you know, I teach you guys this. When you go to evangelism, when you ask people, are you born again? And they say yes. Please stay back and ask them, how do you know you are born again? Always learn to ask that question. Because we hear terrible things. So let me ask your neighbor, are you born again? Get an answer from them. Now, take 3 minutes. Ask them, how do you know that you are born again? How do you know? How did you get born again? What makes one saved? You hear things like, well, I joined church. Did they baptize me? Somebody else will say, I stopped sinning. That day I told myself, if I ever lie again, God kill me. You're not born again, sir. It is the day you open up yourself to his life. You say, Jesus, I accept my sins. But I much more, I accept the price that you paid. I accept that you died on the cross for my sake. And at that moment, that death becomes yours. Somebody say, why does it matter that Jesus died? It matters because you are the one that was supposed to die. It was your death that he took. Because the wages of sin is death. So he went there and took your own death. He took the wages for sin so that you cannot receive life. So anyone that has not consciously received him into his life, listen, is still about to receive the wages of sin, which is death. In fact, he's currently receiving it because he's a dead man. And he will yet receive more when he goes to hellfire, the wages of sin. But when you accept him, he gives you his life because he himself has taken that wage of sin. And don't think I'm talking about the fact that the wages of sin is physical death. No. The wages of sin is spiritual death that will finally produce physical death that will finally lead to eternal death. That's the wages of sin. Not only are you dead now in sin, you will eventually die. You say, well, all of us are going to eventually die. Not exactly. Christians will not die. They will sleep. For you, you will die. And when you die, that's not even the end. You will now get what we call eternal death. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is that you are separated from God. What is physical death? Physical death is now that your body is separated from your soul. What is eternal death? Eternal death is that you will now be eternally separated from God. Eternally. And that's not God's plan for you. So I want to ask again, if there is someone here who wants today to be his own day of walking into God's plan for your life, as you are hearing me now, and you are opening your heart to these things I'm sharing,
Jesus is working in your heart. He is. He's changing you. I know you. Maybe you think I don't, but God does. And he knows all your mess ups. But he's saying, I really don't care. If you give me a chance, I'll transform you. I'll come and live in you. I'll give you my life. And you become a new man. Hallelujah. Is there anybody like that that wants to say to Jesus, come into my heart? I'm going to ask you to raise up your hand. If you're here, I want to. Now, I don't always do that. I've not started preaching. I'll still preach. But I just want to do this before I start. So when we start running, you will know. So you will join us. In case there is someone here who is saying to Jesus, I want to give an opportunity. I want you to be my day. I want you to change me. Now, look at this. Whether you put up your hands or not, if you've accepted what I shared with you now, you are born again. But I always ask you to put up your hands so that, because we want to celebrate with you. Because you are making a decision that is the biggest you've ever made in your life. You are making your best choice. Now, if you don't raise up your hand, I will assume that all of us are born again. But that is my assumption. That is not the truth. When we stand before Jesus, he will not assume that you are born again. He knows that you are not. We will assume and proceed. But when we stand before him, even the devil does not assume that you are born again. He knows that you are not. You have the opportunity now. You can put up your hand. We're going to say a word of prayer for you, and today will be your day. Is anybody like that? Please say to Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to change me. I want you to transform me. If anybody has raised up your hand, if there's nobody like that, to proceed. Anybody? Glory to God. So my assumption should be correct, right? All of you are born again. Very well. But then, back to the message. Salvation is the first step. You see why it doesn't make sense to gather people? Some of you are doing my, I'm a motivational speaker. I go around, I teach people purpose. Say, find your purpose. Just ask yourself, look inwards and ask yourself, what do I like doing? I may look inwards and I sincerely like to play. Because growing up, the thing I sincerely love doing was playing video game. I love this thing with all my heart. So maybe that was my purpose. I missed it. Because people are actually making a living from playing video game. Are you aware? Real living. But is that anybody's purpose? It starts with salvation. Jesus coming into your heart, changing you, and your life begins to count. Go back to 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Hallelujah. Give me NLT. Let's read together again, everybody. Are you there? Let's go together. To show us his grace through Christ. Now, verse 10. And now, he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and eliminated the way to life and immortality through verse 11 now. And God chose me to be. Now watch. The first part we read, Paul talks about the fact that God saved us. That is his plan. The second part now is saying that God chose him to be a preacher and an apostle. So I'm going to show you two things. The first plan of God for everybody is that a man will be saved. The second plan of God for everybody is that the man will do ministry. Now, this conference, I'm going to bring you to a lot of things that I've always been saying. You know, if you've been in this church, this should be a regular segment for you by now. God wants all of us to do ministry, because that's actually the truth. He chose me to be an apostle. The first thing God wants for you to do is that you are born again. Then next, he gives you an assignment. That assignment is called ministry. It's called serving God. So if my assumption is correct, that all of us are born again, we can move on to the next plan. Remember, I'm not yet discussing the particular plan that God has for you as brothers. I mean, the plan has for everybody. Because you don't get it. People say, oh, so God wants all of us to be pastors. That's not what I said. I said God wants all of us to serve him and do ministry. Now, everybody will not be a pastor.
Not all of us will be apostles, but God wants all of us. Paul said his own is that God called him to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Now, your own might be something else. We'll get to that. But the first thing you must know, that the reason God created you, if you had met God to say, why are you creating this person? He would say, number one, I want this guy to be in my image. Number two, I want him to serve me. These two things. You know, I've always tried to explain this thing to you guys. Do you know, long before there was ever need for medicine on earth, because somebody said, my purpose is to be a doctor. What of before we had need for medicine? Before Adam fell, there was no sickness. Was there sickness? Before Adam fell, there was no need for any of these things to happen. I thought, remember, were there phase of facts? Yeah, I explained this very well. In fact, before Adam fell, this life was sweet. There was no need for engineers. There was no need for all these things happening on earth now. So what was God's plan before man ever fell? That is still his plan here now. I get what I'm talking about. Before Adam fell, for instance, we didn't need clothes. So, was God's original plan for Adam to be a tailor? No. You see how it doesn't make sense when you try to drag your profession and claim it is why God has called you or has saved you. God didn't create you so that you can be a teacher. Mm-mm. That teaching will come in as we progress in our study. But the major thing is that you will be his image and that you will serve him. Now, if teaching as you progress is now your own way of serving him, that's where it begins to count as purpose. It's all good I'm talking about. I'll get to that gradually. But the basic thing God wants is that everybody will be saved and we all will serve him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 tells us that the reason he died, please give me that verse on the screen with King James. 2 Corinthians 5 14, that verse I don't want us to forget, I want us to be able to go home with. For the love of Christ constrained us. Watch this. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Verse 15, let me together, everybody. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. So the reason he died, so that we can begin to live for him. That is God's plan for everybody. Whether you're a doctor or a barrister, you must live for him. Serving Jesus. Ministry. Serving God is his agenda for every man on earth. So in case you're wondering, what was it that was said about me if I was born? It was said about you that you will be saved. It was said about you that you will serve Jesus. So any man not doing ministry has not entered into God's plan for his life. He can have cars, but he has not started. He can be wealthy, but he has not started. And it's not about being emotional. Says, I get you guys always try to make it look like only church people are doing well. Sometimes, in fact, all the time, yes. Now, I'm not a woke preacher who tries to make people happy. Because God's word can never have an updated version to satisfy your Gen Z generation. The old way is still the only way. The plan of God is that you will serve him. Are you getting me? Are you pulling what I'm talking about here? Tomorrow, in the course of this program, you will find out how everything, your talent, your skill, how everything comes into this thing I'm sharing. But the plan of God is that everyone here will begin to live for him. He died for all, so that all will live for him. He died for all, so that all. So, except you're not part of them which Jesus died for, if you're part of the all that he died for, then he planned that all will live for him. I love church where there is crowd. And we have crowd. I will have much more crowd. But I don't like useless crowd. I want a crowd of people, men and women, burning for Jesus, serving the Lord, doing ministry, fulfilling God's plan for their life. God's plan for their life. God has a plan for your life. Ministry is in that plan. Ministry in that plan. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
any man be in Christ, verse 17 tells us, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then in verse 18, all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself, and what? And had given to us. So let me ask you, how many people did God reconcile to himself? All believers, right? So how many people did he give a ministry of reconciliation? So are there believers who do not have a ministry? Huh? Everyone that has been reconciled has received the ministry of reconciliation. No one does not have a ministry. No one. Now, have I said all of us to be pastors? No. But everybody, once the day you are, I say this all the time, salvation is a full package. It did not just come with gifts, it came with responsibilities. Ministry is that responsibility. And I say this every day in this church, I'm already sounding like a broken record. Let me say it again. You are going to do ministry. And I will say it until, even if you come here 30 years later, I will say the same thing I'm saying. It's been me all the while. When I came to your secondary school to preach to you, I told you for the same thing. That you will serve God. Now I'm still saying it now. That is why God created you. That's why he saved you. If God created, some people say, well, my aim is heaven at last. I have a problem with that statement. See, and I look at this child with that statement, not because there is anything wrong with going to heaven. It is because we make it look like the reason we exist is to make heaven. If the reason we are existing is just to make heaven, then God should have killed us the day we got born again, so that we go to heaven direct. Why did he leave you here on earth after you got born again? Because there's another agenda he has for your life. That you will serve him, eventually get to heaven, but then serve him here. That's why he saved you. You know, I received those days when it's a big flex to serve Jesus. Because it's really a big flex. You know, I pride in my calling. I pride that I am serving the Lord. I pride that I go to church. I pride that I preach the gospel. I pride in that I sing for God. I pride that I serve the Lord. That I do evangelism. I carry it on my head. This is my life assignment. I will receive those when it's a big flex. Oh, no longer be ashamed. So why are you going to? I'm just passing. I'm not just passing. I'm going to church. Hallelujah. Just now we're coming out from the elevator. Someone saw my wife and I. I said, yeah, you look like you're going to where someone is getting married or maybe both of you. I said, no, we're going to church. Why are you going to church? You went to church for like 4 days now. Are you going back there tomorrow? I'm going back there tomorrow. I serve the Lord and I own it well. I own it well. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I serve the Lord. I live for Jesus. I live for Jesus. That's why he created me. Did you see that? Romans 11:36. He said, of him are all things. To him are all things. Put it up. For him and through him and to him are all things. So everything, including you, you are made for him. That's why we do that song. For from you are all things. And to you are. You are worthy of it all. Sing.
You are worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all, sing.
You are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things.
For from you are all things.
And to you are all things.
And to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
Sing it again. Say, you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Sing it. Say, you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Depart from you, our offense.
Depart from you, our
offense. And to you, our offense.
And to you, our offense.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
One last time. And you are worthy.
You are worthy of it all, Lord. For from you are all things, yeah. For from you are,
and to you are all things.
And to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
I want to read that Romans 11:36 with the Passion Translation. Let me read it again for you. It said, "For out of him, the sustainer of everything, came everything. And now everything finds fulfillment in him." Everything. This is where we are living. Everything finds fulfillment in him. Life begins when we begin to serve the Lord. Give me this verse on the screen. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 13. Ooh, glory to God. Shema la karambe rekotoya. Very popular scripture. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty. Now, look at this. If you look at this verse, find out that that word duty there is italicized, right? And I've taught you, whenever you see any italicized word in the Old Testament or New Testament King James, it means that that word was not found in the original manuscripts. Nothing is wrong with adding it, but then it was added by translators for easy understanding. So how did verse actually appear this? Let us get the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Everything man is and man lives for. The conclusion is that you are fearing God and you are serving him. Give me amplified of this verse. Amplified classic. All has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God. Revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. What did he say? The whole of man. This is the full original purpose of his creation. So the original purpose of your creation is not for you to be jumping up and down and doing medicine. This is the original purpose. And I'm not against your profession, because you are going to do well in your career. If you've never done well in your career, you become a part of this church, you are doing well already. Because we'll push you. So I have nothing against your career. But that's not why you are created. This is the whole of man. The full original purpose of his creation. The object of God's providence. The root of character. The foundation of all happiness. The adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. And the whole duty for every man. Every man. Every man. It's not for pastors. Every man. Not for ministers. Every man. That we will serve God and you will walk in his ways. That's the plan. To see it. Begin to readjust your life. I had a mentor of mine 7 years ago. He said, "I'm not going to tell my children that they are going to do ministry, that are going to be pastors or apostles." He said, "I'm not going to choose their career for them." He said, "But I must instill it in their head that no matter what they are doing, create space for ministry. If not, you've lived a failed life on earth." This is why you are created. I don't know who is losing passion for ministry. I don't know who is thinking of throwing a toy before he came here. All these questions, I know they do against them. You've not even started. This is why you are created. You are yet to start. You have like 70 years ahead. Why do you think God created you? Why do you think you are still alive? Why do you think you survived that accident? Why do you think that sickness did not kill you?
God has an agenda for your life. He kept you here for this purpose. That you will carry his name around the earth. That's why he kept you. Don't say they talk. Is the devil talking in your head? We have many more years here. This is why we were born. This is why we are born. Did you observe everywhere we've read? Where the Bible, where everybody, for instance, when Jeremiah said, before you formed me, before I was formed, the Lord knew me. What was he talking about? Ministry. I ordained you to be a prophet. Isaiah 49, verse 1. Same thing, ministry. Jesus spoke of himself. They spoke of just rather, I come in the volume of the books written about me. What is that volume? To do thy will. Why were you formed? To do his will. To do his will. Just what I said, play that song. I come in the volume of books.
Thank you. forget it. I will do your will.
Yeah, I will do your will.
Why we were born. Take 5 minutes. Pray. Pray. Simple prayer. I will serve the Lord in my generation. This kind of prayers, we prayed it many times growing up. I will serve the Lord in my generation. 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 Pray, pray, pray. I will serve the Lord in my generation. I will serve the Lord in my generation. I will not waste my days on earth. Put your hand on your head. Pray like you mean it. Henry, you will serve the Lord. Call your name. You will not live a wasted life. You will not live a wasted life. Pray. You will serve your generation. You will serve God in your own time. The Lord will use you mightily.
By a coffin of holy mother books, he was written about me. To do your will, O God. By a coffin of holy mother books, he was written concerning me, to do your will, O God. By a coffin of holy mother books, he was prophesied over my life, oh, to do your will, O God. This I will do your will. Do your will. I will do your will, O God. I will do your will. I will do your will. I will do your will, O God. I will do your will. I will do your will. I will do your will, O God. I will do your will. I will do your will, O God. I will do your will, O God. Holy marble boots was written about me, to do your will.
Pray. You have 2 more minutes. You will not live a wasted life. You will not live a wasted life. You will not waste your days on earth. You will not waste your days on earth. You will not waste your days on earth. Your days on earth will count for something. Your days on earth will count for something. Your days on earth will count for something. It's a life in prophecy. So you must be speaking over your own life. You must be speaking over your own life. My days on earth will count for something. My days on earth will count for something. I will be known for serving the Lord. I will be known for fulfilling my ministry. I will not be distracted. Shadeke kepoka. Ebuneleteya. Mentele kubeteya. Zuzu subeteteya. Ejepe rabo zuteya. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Sing this song. This is the air I breathe.
Yeah. treasure of my heart and of my soul.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
Joy cannot be compared. Sometimes you will not have all the answers to the problems you are passing through. But every time you step out in that service, you know something has changed. You are just so happy. Things are still the same on the outside, but the joy is unquantifiable. Jesus left them in John chapter 4 and told them, I'm hungry. Go buy food for me. They went to buy food for him. By the time they would come back, he had already got through the Samaritan woman saved. And then I brought him. I don't want to eat again. And they asked him why. He told them, I have food to eat that I do not know of. And they were asking, who brought him food? But the fulfillment of ministry has covered the physical hunger that he had. May you know that hunger. May you know that satisfaction. That is our ministry brings. This is why we live. This is why we live. We will have many degrees, but nothing will compare to this. We will have many cash, you have much cash, you have many jobs, many investments, but nothing will come close to this. This is why we exist. This is why we exist. This is why we exist. Just like that apple phone I spoke to you about. You know, you can use that apple phone to do many things. You can use it to support something. You can use it as many things, but the day you use that apple phone for its purpose, that is the day that phone begins to live. Let your day begin. Let your life begin to count as you begin to live it for Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. So before you begin to find what in God's I'm going to be in life, this is the first one. This is the first one. I'm praying that it comes to you like revelation. Not just what I'm saying is nothing. The day it came to me, I never knew I was going to be a pastor. I never knew I was going to be anything. But I knew that no matter what I become, I must serve Jesus. That one is there. I don't know if you will ask to preach. I don't know if you will ask me to sing. I don't know if you will ask me to be a bishop or a pastor or an usher. But whatever he says to do, I know my life must come for serving Jesus. That is the heart right there. For this reason we came. No other reason. Listen to me, friend. You're not meant to be a failure in life. But if you will fail, fail at everything, not in your ministry. You're not meant to fail. But if you're ever going to fail, fail at everything. But don't fail in ministry. Don't fail in destiny. Fail in everything. Let them say he wrote the exam and scored 42. Let it be school exam. Let it not be the real reason you were created. Are you following what I'm talking about here? Let it not be the reason you were created. Slack back in everything. Don't slack back in ministry. This is where we live. The day we stop serving God, we start dying. Life begins to end. Life stops counting. We might have all our reasons. We might have all our beautiful reasons. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So we're not serving God. The church. Some people are the worst. I can never go to church again because all those your reasons are there. It doesn't matter. This is where you are born. Apple phone. Why are you no longer making calls and snapping pictures and browsing the internet? If I don't like the weather, well, the day you cannot do what you want, we will replace you. You know the thing about it, I'll get to it in this teaching later. But you know God has your replacement. It humbles me every time I remember this. It's not Old Testament teaching. God has your replacement. They said about Judas, his bishopric, let another take. And someone else took his bishopric. In fact, the day it was time to replace Judas, there were two people waiting. You didn't get that. When it was time to replace Saul, there was a David waiting. Elijah thought he was the only one. God told him, I have 7,000 who has not bowed to Baal. All of them waiting to replace you. If you do not rise up and serve God, there are many people that God will use to replace you. And may I not be replaced in my lifetime. No. May I not be replaced in my lifetime. At least when I've died. But while I'm here, and God said, I have no need for him again. No. I don't want to imagine it. It's better you die. Commit suicide. Don't kill yourself. I'm just saying. And somebody is listening to me and saying, sir, I failed God. I stopped serving him. And I heard it in my spirit as I'm talking. He said, I'm not just the God of second chances. I'm the God of multiple chances. So today can be your day. You're going to pick up yourself and begin to run again. Because this weekend we are going to run. But it's not just be a race that we're going to stop. It's a race we will begin that will last all our lives. Serving just carrying his banner on our head. Owning it like we own it because we really do own it. I hear it again. Still, I'm the God of multiple chances. Multiple chances. You will not fail your generation. Sit. Let's see if we can close. I have like 20 minutes. Woo! Glory. So, we are in Exodus 12, verse 13. This is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. This is why we were created. This is where we find our fulfillment. This is where true happiness begins. This is why you have money but you are not happy. I'm just giving a big secret to you. That's why you wake up and you're tired. You have everything, but it's like you're lacking peace. This is the reason. You are not operating where you should. That's where there is no peace. This is amplified. He said it's the source of all happiness. He said it's the root of character. I'll come to that later. Look at that. He said it is. He said the full original purpose of his creation, object of God's presence, the root of character. I'll come to that later. Because actually, finding your purpose, your meaning is the root of character. That's what begins to order your life. You now begin to live in a certain way because you find out what you are living for. It's the root of character. I started dressing in a certain way. The day it dawned on me that I was going to be a servant of Jesus. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. But it changed my dressing. It's the root of character. It's the foundation of all happiness. That's where happiness comes from. It has never happened to you when you are without money in your pocket. And then it's evangelism time. And you get one person saved. It's like all the pain of not having money disappears. They are trekking home smiling. Even the garage to drink at home is not available. But the joy cannot be measured.
Can't be measured.
They're coming back. That's why I say all the time, Christians are the happiest people on earth. People who are living in their purpose, they are the happiest on earth. I enjoy this life. Amen. And the man of God said, they published something about him. Forbes published him as, is it Forbes? One website as the eighth richest pastor in the world. And he said, when he saw the figure they put there, the only thing he said is, amen. He said, I claim it. He said, because actually, when people see how we talk and how excited we are, they think we talk like that because everything is fine. They think we can achieve what we want to achieve because everything is okay. Everything is not always fine. But there is something that gives joy. People say, Papa, this person has money. He's always happy. Not all the time. You get the point? Not all the time. There are times that your health may be bad. Everything on the outside is not looking good. But there is joy from inside. Nothing can measure up to that. Is the root of character, is the foundation of happiness. Not that you don't have money, you don't even have airtime on your phone, but you remember you have to follow somebody up. You will borrow airtime and call the person. How is your spiritual life? Have you prayed today? And the person says, yes. You know, I prayed and I had a vision yesterday. You don't report, glory to God, he had a vision. You still don't have money, but nothing comes close to that. Living for the reason. Oh, come on. Nobody should remove from this joy. Nothing comes close. And some of you have ever backslidden in your life. You've backslidden, and if you are back now, you will know that nothing dead here. How do you exist? You wake up every morning, there is nothing, there's no reason you are living. You just can buy food, come back, go to work, make money. Why? What gives you joy? Let me ask you a question. Should we give you $10 billion, that money you've been praying for, even beyond that, what are you going to do? You will buy houses, you will buy cars, you will buy all the things you screenshot on your phone, you will buy all of those things. You will buy, honestly, after that, what else are you going to do? I've spoken to a couple of rich people, very depressed, because the whole money is available. They have everything they want and more. But then, they find out that's not what they were looking for. I'm telling you. So just imagine it. You buy everything. You bought like houses in Lekki, everywhere you want to buy. You bought cars, the latest 2024 model. You have all of them. You've everything. And you are now okay. Wake up every morning. What are you going to be doing in the morning? You start watching film. What is the joy? Sometimes, I say this all the time. The way life is programmed, anything you don't have, something makes you believe that once you have that thing, you'll be fine. Just like before you gain the admission. Something told that once you gain admission, but then somehow you gain admission. Yeah, even sometimes you wake up in the morning and wonder, what am I doing here? For when I was in school, sometimes I wake up every morning and I'm like, what am I doing in this particular village? I want everything. What brought me here? School is good, I'm just saying.
Just like someone is single here. Say one thing, when I marry, we will do. When I, you will marry. You will marry. I want to woke up, what am I doing in a man's house? You just look around for that. That's not where the thing is coming from. That's not the foundation of happiness, sir. Is this serving the Lord? Nothing comes close to that. You don't serve God. You know, let me say this to you. If I start winding down, let me deceive you. Unbelievers are not really happy. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You say, this church is denying me many things. So church actually is not denying you anything. If you are really happy, what takes you to the club? You are looking for happiness. Like I'm playing loud music, I'll be shouting, you're not happy. If you're really happy, why are you getting high? If you are actually happy, why do you need something to get you high? Because you are looking for something. If you are really happy, why are you drinking? You are not, I'm just telling you the truth. Everybody is searching for happiness. If you are happy, why do you bring in one girl today, send the girl out, bring in the next girl? You are living large. You are actually looking, there's something you're looking for. I have it. He said, with joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. I have that joy I'm looking for. I know how to draw from there. With joy, I draw water from the well of salvation. I'm telling you, that really does happen. Now tell you what I found out personally. Because why are you getting high on all these cheap things? You're buying this. There is something that is lacking in your life. You are looking for something you don't know. The Quran in his book, Purpose Living Life, said a lot of philosophers have been asking, the one particular philosopher wrote letters to many of them. He was asking them, what is the purpose of life? One of them said, this is his biggest question. Why are we alive? Why is it just to walk around and live? Buy food, buy clothes, buy car, drive, and then die, and then people come and inherit all of these things you made. Your next of kin will eat your money without love. Your next of kin? You eat your money without love, without any pity. So sweet to be a next of kin. So what's now the point? Glory to God. This is how we live. Because even when we die, all this money we've made, we remain here. But all this money we are doing for Jesus now, we count in eternity. One day we will stand before him and we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That day nothing comes, that joy. You know this song? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Yes. When we
all see Jesus, we will sing and shout.
Sing it again. When we all get to heaven.
When we all get to
heaven. What a day of rejoicing. Come on.
What a day of rejoicing that will be.
Yes.
When we all
see Jesus.
We will sing and shout.
I will shout victory. Do it again. When we all get to heaven.
When we all get to heaven.
Are you sure? Come on.
What a day of rejoicing that will be.
Yeah.
When we all.
One more time.
Yeah. When we all get to heaven, then the day of rejection that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory.
That's why if you're a minister here and you have a pastor and not equipping your people to do ministry, you are wasting their time. Close that church. Because God brings people under you so that you can direct them to help them walk in their purpose. And then you are telling them all the exciting things. The end was that person begins to live for Jesus. Don't worry, sit. Let me just ask one question, then we'll go.
Oh, hallelujah.
So I said, this is why we exist. This is beyond your profession. I just heard the Lord saying I should talk about that. This is beyond your profession. It's beyond your profession. It's not about the job you are doing. You know, there are many people in the Bible who had beautiful jobs they were doing. Who even excelled in their profession. But not one of them, and I feel I should say this before we go today, not one of them referred to those their profession as ministry. I have people that say things like, well, ministry is not about doing it in church. God's creators are ministers. No, sir. That's not true. So even doctors are doing ministry. It's not about holding mic. But please, listen to me. What was not a ministry in the Bible cannot be a ministry in 2024 because you came. I get the point. Now, is there a way to use content creation as ministry? I will touch that tomorrow and next. But in itself, it's not. See, even people that are doing comedy, that are doing ministry, that are bringing happiness to people. No. That's not true. That's not true. Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18, verse 2, they were Paul's co-workers. Who were they? Tent makers. In our time, we can call them builders or engineers. But Aquila and Priscilla never referred to tent making as their ministry. They still preached. They still ministered to Apollos. Remember? They were the couple that met Apollos and ministered the gospel to him and changed their lives. Now, were they doing well as tent makers? Yes. Did they say we have tent making ministry? No. I know what I'm talking about. So tent making is not a ministry. So the engineer cannot say, I'm an engineer. And as an engineer, I'm a minister. No. Now, is there a way you can use that to serve God in one word or the other? I will get to that much later. But not today. So tent makers serve God. Colossians 4 verse 14 tells us about Luke. Of course, you know Luke. He was a medical doctor. But Luke never referred. In fact, it was even Paul that called him a doctor. In fact, let me say this to you. In all the letters that Luke wrote, two letters, right? That's Luke and Acts. He never called himself a doctor. It was Paul that let us know that he was a physician. He himself never referred to himself as a doctor. We just introduced himself as Luke, a servant of God, because that medicine is not bad, but that is not ministry. I get the point. If you study the book of Acts, you'll find out that Paul and Luke, they were so involved. But Luke traveled with Paul. In fact, if you read the book of Acts, at the point you begin, you get to the book of Acts, you start seeing this pronoun, we, and we left. And we sailed. Because there was a point in the ministry of Paul that Luke joined him. And they were traveling the world together. A medical doctor. I get what I'm saying. So ministry is not for jobless people. It's not for people that don't have jobs. They begin to serve God. Even Luke was a doctor. So I've shown you who we can call an engineer. I've shown another person you can call a doctor. I get what I'm talking about here now. But they didn't say that was ministry. Because that is not. In Romans 16 verse 23, we read about that beautiful, wonderful brother. Romans 16 verse 23. What's his name? In fact, there are many names here. I thought I have time. Gaius, talk about Gaius. I'll get to that much later. Gaius in church history was a wealthy guy. He was one hosting Paul. Now, and of the whole church, that was said, Erastus, I like talking about this guy, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city. Erastus is a very important character because he was a rich guy. Give me like NLT. King James said he's the chamberlain of the city. Look, NLT said, come on, and Erastus, the city treasurer. So, of the whole, maybe Enugu city now, what do we call it now? Maybe the accountant general of the state. But he never said the Lord called him
to be a chamberlain or to be a treasurer. He never referred to his accountants, whatever, as a ministry. Let nobody fool you. Even I know they go to church, but the small I'm doing in my workplace as I'm going to work and I'm working, I'm doing it, that's not ministry. Let nobody deceive you. I get what I'm saying. In fact, a little more on this Erastus guy. NLT calling situation. Let me see other translations. Amplify Classic Message and all of that. So I can just close now. Amplify said, Erastus the city treasurer, okay? Message, the city treasurer. Okay, that's very clear. I don't think it's hard to see. But let me say a little more about Erastus. In Acts 19, verse 22, you will see that even as a city treasurer, in fact, we could call him a politician, because somehow you might need to be a politician to attain that kind of position. But look what the Bible said about him. He sent, this is he now, is Paul. He sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. So Paul, the same way he was sending Timothy around, was also sending Erastus around. Who is Erastus again? City. But he never said, well, my ministry is accountancy. So Paul, don't ask me to go and preach. As I'm writing checks, I'm serving the Lord. No, sir. We appreciate your giving, but it doesn't stop at that. You must serve the Lord. He sent two of them that ministered unto him. NLT said they were two of his assistants. Look at that. NLT quickly. Said he sent his two assistants. So Erastus was that serious in ministry. City treasurer. So there's such a thing as ambidextrous Christianity. Someone who is doing well in ministry and doing well in his career. Pharmacists who are pastors. Engineers who are pastors. Doing well in their career. Doing well in serving the Lord. Who will not think that because they are pharmacists, it translates to ministry? No. You must be a pharmacist. It's okay, but you must serve the Lord. Two of his assistants. So he sent them. He stayed in Asia for sending them to Macedonia to go and do ministry. Be a man that your pastor can send. Be a man. Be a sendable man. Don't say, well, I'm not into all this ministry thing. Mine is to play football. Or mine is to do business. You're not more serious than a city treasurer, sir. It will interest you to know that Daniel in the Old Testament was not a pastor. He was a politician. But he never said, the Lord called me to be president. No, sir. He carried out his ministry. He interpreted dreams when need be. I get what I'm talking about. You can't say because you are doing your profession, it translates to ministry. That's not true. Can you serve God in your profession? Well, yes. But your profession in itself is not ministry. You must begin to serve God. Tomorrow, I'm going to show you a few more things on how you're going to carry out the assignment that God has given you. But as you go today, bear it in your mind that God has given you an assignment to serve Him, to fear Him, to keep His commandments. As a banker, serve the Lord. Banking is not your ministry. You have a ministry in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? As an engineer, serve the Lord. Engineering is not your ministry. You have a ministry in Christ. As a doctor, serve the Lord. Medicine is not your ministry. As a barrister, serve the Lord. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's not your ministry. Are you following me, friends? Law is not your ministry. As a tailor, serve the Lord. The funny one is comedians who think they are serving God. Glory to God. See, as a comedian, my job is to make, as I'm creating content and people are laughing, God is being praised. That is not actually true. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Are you following me? Serve the Lord. Can a comedian serve the Lord in church? Yes. So when I'm going to say something that you may not like, you may not like.
Can a musician serve the Lord, church? Yes. Can a secular musician be born again? Yes. Is secular music his ministry? No. Can he serve the Lord in church? He should. Can a gospel artist be born again? Yes. Can he not be born again? Sometimes. Should he serve the Lord? Yes. That thing he's thinking around the world, is it his ministry? Sometimes not. But I'll get that tomorrow. Because some of this we call gospel music today is business. It's not an industry. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an industry. But that'll be tomorrow or next, if God leads me there. But serve the Lord. The reason we're all created is that we'll serve Him. Glory to God. Let me show you the last scripture, then we'll close today. Have you been blessed? Romans, I think Revelation rather, 4 verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and we are created. So, I want to close, I'll open this up tomorrow. So, all of us, we are created for His pleasure. So, if you are looking for why was I created, this verse says it. So, what is it that will bring God pleasure? That's why He made you. Are you good what I'm saying? What will bring Him pleasure? Now, is it when I'm playing football, is it what is bringing Him pleasure? If you find out what brings pleasure to the King, you found your purpose. Everything we are created for His pleasure. See that why we did that talk on Sunday? For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are. Next time you sing that song, think about yourself. You are created for His pleasure. We're not created to just roam around and loaf around the earth. It's for His pleasure. To bring joy to His name. That whenever He sees you, He says, that's my beloved son. That's why you are made. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they. Have you ever thought about this song? I know you were growing up singing it all that time. That time I didn't know what they were singing. All the things I've heard. It was a very beautiful song. Everything was created for Him. So I'm not just here to exist and to loaf around. When you are asking, why are you making this guy? He will tell you, I'm making him to bring pleasure to my name. Give me a translation of this. Let's just close with that. He said, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. Amplified Classic. He said, by your will they were brought into being, and they are created. By his will, for his pleasure, for his purpose. So, why am I existing? The answer is right there. For his pleasure. For the pleasure of the King alone. So any that begins, and I'm close with this now, any that begins to live for my own pleasure, I've started missing out on the original plan of God for my life. So this weekend, I'm going to show you God's plan for your life. God's agenda for your life. How you can find it. How you can stand in it. At different times, there will be impartations. And God will impart so you can begin to walk in that plan. There is prophecy over your head. There are things God has said about you. I'm still going over the general thing. I'll still get to the specific things God has said concerning each and every one of us. But until then, just know that you are made for His pleasure. So once I live my life and Jesus is glorified, listen, I'm doing well. I may not have all the answers on the outside, but if I'm living for His pleasure, then I'm living a very good life. So you see, living a purpose-driven life
is not hard. Once you're born again and you find ministry and you're pouring your life out in the service of God, how you say you should serve Him, you actually fulfill your purpose. Other things will follow suit, as we'll see shortly. Are you guys what I'm talking about? It's not hard. How many of you at any time in your life have ever walked away from ministry and you've seen that nothing did here? Anybody? Anybody like that? Yeah. I just enjoy my life. I don't see anybody here. I mean, you wake up, you go, you even go clubbing, you will drink, you will party. You have 10 girlfriends or 10 boyfriends, you have everything. You just ask them, so when are we going to end all of this? I ever ask myself, now you that have been misbehaving, when are you going to end all of that? When? Now, at what point will it get to I am now happy? At what point will it get to I say, I drank today and I'm now happy? At what point? There's no fulfillment. I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh.
His voice is like music to my ears.
Have your testimony this weekend.
Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune. I dance to the rhythm of Yahweh. His voice is like music to my ears.
Music, not about dance. But as a song that begins to play in your heart,
Others will be sleeping and you will be awake because he will be instructing you. He will be showing you men to touch. Oh, something keeps me awake every night. I roll over my bed, not because I'm depressed, but because the burden of nature has fallen upon me. Is it in the name of Yahweh? Then he blessed it to be here. Oh.
His voice is the music of my heart. Yahweh, I'm dancing to you. I dance to you.
Like music to your ears.
That is something that happens to you. You can sit down 8 hours at teaching. You're just smiling. Because there is no music sweeter than that. Let down all this sound. And as we teaching the word, you still sit and you are listening. Because those words you are hearing that connect you to the reality you are created. That's why it's exciting. I close this way.
Final closing now, right?
Let me show you this. I said this at the resume, but let me say it now. Let me tell you why we find our happiness in God. Everything responds to its source. Did I show you that at the resume? When God wanted to create the fish, what did he do? He spoke to the waters. The waters brought forth fish. You can take Genesis 1. When he wanted to make things, he would speak to their habitat and to bring it forth. When God wanted to create man, he spoke to himself, let us. So, man came from God. I get what I'm saying. So, every time fish wants to be at home, it enters water. When monkeys want to be at home, they climb the trees. When we want to feel at home, when we respond to him, that's when we are at home. Do you feel at home right now? When we are preaching, we are at home. When we are serving Jesus, we are at home. When we are carrying it on our head, we are at home. When we enjoy his presence, we are at home in his presence. Oh, hallelujah. So please look at your neighbor and say to the person, welcome home. Come on. Welcome home. Glory to God. Seven home here. God inside this hall now. God in my people. In my people. Stop Jesus. Fear God. Keep his commandment. That's why you are coming. I'll see you tomorrow. 8 a.m. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.